As I said, this is our eighth message in our first Sunday series. The series is called We Still Believe. And what we're doing in this series is once a month on the first Sunday, we're reaffirming something that we believed 40 years ago when this church began and that we still believe 40 years later. We still believe these things because our original belief about these things came from the Word of God. And over 40 years, I'm not aware of any changes in the Word of God. And so, therefore, our beliefs have not changed. And we're taking this year just to celebrate God's Word, celebrate the fact His Word does not change, let people know, if they haven't been with us the whole 40 years, what we believe, and those of us who know what we believe, to reaffirm it. So, that's what we're doing today. We have talked about some of our major doctrinal beliefs that are foundational to what we do here. We've talked about our beliefs concerning God, concerning the Scripture, concerning the person of Jesus Christ, concerning salvation, concerning the Holy Spirit. We've talked about our purposes as a church that we have taken from Scripture to edify or to help Christians grow, to equip Christians to do ministry, to help them be trained, to use their gifts to minister. We have as a purpose evangelism, to have an impact on people who don't know Christ all around us. And of course, in all of that, our purpose is to exalt the Lord and to bring glory to Him. And we also talked about our vision that we've set, kind of what we're shooting for, and it's always on that banner over by the piano. It's all about transformed lives. It's about changed lives. God changing people into Christ-like people and devoted followers of His. So today we come to what we would call a core value. If you've seen these sheets that you can pick up in the back as you go, we have our doctrinal beliefs, our major doctrines on there. We have our purpose stated. We have that vision. But we also have, in the upper left corner, 13 core values, things that we value and we believe are very important that need to be part of our church experience. And we're going to talk about one of those today, and it's family. We are devoted to family. Family is very important. Family is a creation of God. And so as a church, it's important to us. It's one of our 13 core values. A church that encourages and serves families is a church that is in line with the Bible, I think. But a church that puts families first is not in line with the Bible. Really? Really? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Bible says to put Jesus Christ in first place. The Bible says the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Jesus even said, you must love me more than your family. And so, just up front, you need to know that we are committed to families. It is one of our core values to help and serve and encourage families and marriages. But it is not our main focus. Our main focus is glory to God, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Loving Him first. That's the focus. But we're going to talk about family. And you might be wondering, why in the world is He going to talk about family and marriage when we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper? Well, you'll find out. I think it's a good combination. So let's pray, and then we'll go into that. Our Father, we give You praise for this day. Thank You, Father, for these songs that just reminded us of Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. salvation, how it came to us, what Jesus went through to make it possible. Father, you did demonstrate your love toward us sinners in sending Jesus to that cross. Father, we just thank you. We can't get over the forgiveness you brought to our lives. We can't get over your presence in our lives. We can't get over how you change lives. Thank you. And we continue to celebrate that and give you thanks. Prepare us, Lord. Prepare us further to come to your table in these next moments. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you have a two-sided study sheet, and it's going to be a study that will be shorter than most, which doesn't make sense, does it? Usually it's a one-sided sheet. And like a boy told me last week, you talk too long. And I said, how long do you want me to talk? He said, 2 minutes. It won't be 2 minutes, but it's going to be fairly short comparatively because it's simply to prepare us. But we are going to talk about family. So what I want to do, first of all, on the first page, is to just take you through very quickly. You can look at the scriptures yourself. This is what we believe. This is what we believed 40 years ago as a church concerning marriage and family. And this is what we still believe. Sometimes it's difficult to believe some of these things because we live in a time where a number of these things are challenged. We live in a time where there are new definitions for some of these things. But we still believe them because they're taught in Scripture. They were 40 years ago when we decided to believe them because it's what God said, and we still believe them. So let me take you through them. First of all, we believe marriage is God's good creation. We still believe that. God is the one who began this whole idea of marriage. The Scripture says the Lord God formed the man, then the Lord God formed the woman, and he said a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Marriage is God's idea since the beginning. It's a good idea. Marriage and family, and we believe that. Second, marriage is the union of one man and one woman for a lifetime. We still believe that. Well, God has joined together, let no man separate. Third, sexual intimacy is reserved only for a man and woman within their marriage relationship. Again, God's good gift from the beginning to a man and woman who unite in marriage. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. God has put clear boundaries around his wonderful gift of sexual intimacy, and the boundaries are marriage. From the beginning, hasn't changed, so we still believe it. Next, the husband is responsible for spiritual leadership in a marriage. The husband is the head of the wife. We still believe that. And you can insert in there next, the husband is to love his wife in a Christ-like manner. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We believe that. The husband is to love his wife in a Christ-like manner. Next, the wife is to respect her husband. Next, children are a gift from the Lord who formed them in the womb. We believe that. Parents are to raise their children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. We believe that. It's the parents' responsibility. They are the first line as far as the responsibility to train up their children. Next, children are to obey and honor their parents. Obedience would be the action. Honor would be the attitude. We still believe that's true. Children are to obey and honor their parents, for it's right, the Scripture says. And then marriages and families are to function in ways that bring glory to God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Marriages and families fit under the word all. And we are to do all to the glory of God. That means we do marriage to the glory of God. That means we do family to the glory of God. Husbands, Our role is to bring glory to God as husbands. Wives, your role is to bring glory to God as a wife. Moms and dads, your role is to bring glory to God through raising your children and training them. And children, young people, your role is to bring glory to God through obeying and honoring your parents. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. I think we have missed that, friends, because I think even in Christian circles, somehow we have come to believe that marriage is about us. And we've come to believe that family and raising children is about us. You won't find that here. Marriage is not about us. Family is not about us. It's about the glory of God. Marriage is about bringing glory to God. Family is about bringing glory to God. It's not about us. And that's where we run into problems. And we still do. And glory is stolen from God because we think it's about us. Second side. Isn't this amazing how quickly we're going? You know, I might ask you, you know, and you can go back through that front page, the things that we believe as a church and still believe, but, you know, do you believe those things? You know, do you believe those nine or ten things about marriage and family? And can I make a guess? Almost 100% of you will say yes. You believe those 10 things I just took you through. But how many of us could honestly say the people in this world see those 10 things and hear those 10 things when they're exposed to our marriage and our family? You can say you believe those things. And you can even accurately say they come from Scripture. But it means nothing to this world if they don't see you living that in your marriage, in your family. They will just say, so what is so great about this Christian thing if it doesn't even work in your marriage or in your family? Now that we are sufficiently convicted, turn to the second side of your sheet. And this is where the book of Ephesians will come in as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. I'd like to just remind you, because for many of you this is a reminder, this isn't new stuff. I'd like to remind you just from the book of Ephesians, so we're not, you know, turning all over Scripture, but just from this one letter that Paul wrote to this church in Ephesus, I want to show you, first of all, God's marriage and family design. Chapter 5. He lays it out pretty clear. You know, what I picture when I read this part of Ephesians 5, many of you watch these TV programs that renovate homes and, you know, have these professional designers and whatever. But I've noticed one of the things that happens at the beginning of many of those shows is they sit down with the homeowners or the buyers or whatever, and on the computer, they've got this designing program of some kind, and they can actually show these people what their house is going to look like before it exists, right? Three-dimensional. I mean, the walls are going like this, you know? And they can actually see the design of the finished product, the plan. I think of that when I read this part of Ephesians 5. This is God's design, His plan for marriage and family. It's the finished product. It's what He has determined it should look like. Let's see what it is. And you know this. Husbands are the leaders. Husbands are the head. As uncomfortable as you are with that word, that's the word that's used. But it simply means the husband in the marriage is in the leadership position. So that's part of that design. And then the wives are to respect their husband and be willing to follow the leadership. Verse 23 and verse 33. The wives must respect their husbands. That's part of the design. Husbands, verse 25, are to love their wives like Christ loves, guys. Love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. He goes on to talk about how Jesus promotes our growth into holiness and how Jesus protects us. And he says, husbands, that's how you should love your wives. Willing to sacrifice for them, yes, but also promote their growth in holiness. Protect them. That's the kind of leader we're supposed to be. Loving. Then we come to chapter 6. Children, here's your part in the design. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it will go well with you. Life is better when you obey and honor your parents. Believe me. And you'll enjoy life. So that's part of the design. This three-dimensional computer program that God has. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it can look like. And then parents are in on the design here. Verse 4. Parents, do not exasperate or provoke your children. Instead, bring them up. Don't tear them down. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The instruction and discipline of the Lord. Bring them up. Train them. And so, in Ephesians 5, we have this design laid out for us. This is how God intended it to be. This is what marriage and family are to look like as far as the creator of it is concerned. This is the picture he had in mind. Of husbands leading in a loving way. And wives respecting their husbands and their leadership and willing to follow it. And children honoring and obeying their parents while the parents are bringing them up, training them, disciplining them in the Lord. See the picture? See it on the screen there? The fake one right here. You see that picture? That's the design that the Creator has put in place. Now, you know, in those shows, like I said, when the designer is showing the finished product, it hasn't even started being worked on yet, has it? But that's where you're headed. And you start working toward that. And here's God's design for marriage and for family. You may have noticed that chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians is toward the end of the book. If you just glance, there's 6 chapters. So 1 to 6, chapter 5, that's toward the end, right? So we get this design for marriage and family toward the end of the letter. I think it's important that we go back to the beginning of the letter. Okay? Because we don't start building that house and moving toward that design somewhere toward the end of the project. We got to start at the beginning, right? So let's go back to the beginning of Ephesians as the letter begins, and we find that in the first 2 chapters, the Apostle Paul doesn't even talk about marriage. He doesn't even talk about family and parenting. He begins this letter by talking about salvation, the gospel. That's how he starts. In chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. And we sang about that grace that God lavished upon us. He's talking about God choosing, making people part of His family, His sons and daughters. It's talking about sin. And then if you go to chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace you've been saved, as Paul wraps up this section on salvation. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. So Paul talks about salvation to start this letter. He doesn't start out talking about marriage or about family. He talks about salvation through Jesus Christ, through the shedding of His blood, forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the connection here? Before He gets to family, before He gets to marriage, He settles the salvation issue and how one experiences salvation through Jesus. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus and what He has done for us to provide salvation. Then He comes to chapter 4. Verse 1, and he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live life worthy of the calling you've received. So now, salvation, very important, that's where it begins, the forgiveness, the redemption, the relationship, father-child with God, that's where it begins, by grace through faith. Then he says, okay, now, if you've experienced that, he says, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Live a life that goes along with that salvation you've been called to. He hasn't talked specifically about marriage yet. He hasn't brought up family specifically yet. But he generally moves into now saying, okay, once the salvation issue is taken care of, now you need to live a life that goes along with that. You don't just believe the gospel, now you live the gospel. So how do we do that? Well, along with salvation, we've been given the power to do that. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When we come to salvation, and most of you know this, along with the forgiveness and all the other wonderful things that come with salvation through Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in us. And that's what he's talking about. Having believed the gospel, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, he hasn't talked about marriage yet. He hasn't talked about family. But he's addressed the salvation issue. He has made the challenge, once you are a person who has obtained salvation, live the life that goes along with that. And then he has said, you have been given the ability to do it in the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, who will empower you in your Christian life. Then finally, in chapter 5, he begins to talk about marriage and family. Back to chapter 5, verse 18. Paul says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit that God has given you in salvation. Be filled with Him. Be controlled by Him. Follow Him. Obey Him. Be filled with the Spirit. And then He goes into specifics about what it's like, the direction you go when you are filled with the Spirit, when you are controlled by the Spirit, obeying the Spirit, walking by the Spirit's direction. And lo and behold, quickly He comes to marriage and family. And our section starting in verse 22. This design for husbands and wives, children, parents. But you see, the order in this book is important. We can't just start fresh with chapter 5, marriage and family, and think we can just do what it says on our own. We can just fulfill that design. No, you get there by starting at chapter 1 and chapter 2 and dealing with the salvation issue, the forgiveness, the becoming a child of God issue, the believing the gospel issue. And then you are given the Spirit of God, who now can empower you to do whatever God has designed for you to do. And one of the things is how you do marriage and how you do family. But it's in the context of salvation and the empowering Holy Spirit living in you that you will follow. So many people are trying to work out their marriages and work out their families, and they've skipped Ephesians 1 and 2. They've skipped the salvation part. And they've skipped the receiving of the power, the Holy Spirit part, because that comes with salvation. They've skipped all that, and they think they can do Ephesians 5 and 6. Can't happen. I couldn't do it. I can't do it. Salvation and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit is key. So, here's how I'm going to wrap this up. What the church can do and what the church cannot do when it comes to your marriage and your family. Okay? We are committed to families. I mean, that's one of our values as a church. And so what we have been and will continue to do is to assist your marriages, to assist your families. We are here to encourage you. We are here to support you. We are here to walk with you through things concerning marriage and your family. We are here to teach you, to train you, to expose you to what the Bible teaches you about marriage and family. We are here maybe to challenge you. We are here to provide opportunities that can be helpful in the growth of your marriage and your family. I mean, those are things we can do. We can love you. Whether your marriage is doing well or not, whether your family is doing well or not, we can love you. We can be here to be the ones that can love you through that, even despite how it's going. That's what the church can do. But there are things the church cannot do. The church cannot save you. We cannot bring you conviction of sin. We cannot save you from sin. We cannot give you forgiveness. We cannot do that. We cannot give you power, inner power. The Holy Spirit does that. We can't do those things. We can't heal your marriage. We can't heal your family. We can't make your marriage the way God designed it to be. We can't magically, as a church, cause your marriage to mirror Ephesians 5. No matter how hard we try as a church, we can't make your family, your parent-child relationships reflect Ephesians 6. We don't have that kind of power, that kind of ability. We help. We encourage. We point you in what we think is the right direction. But there are things we can't do. There was a cartoon in a Christian magazine. The scene was a crime scene, actually. And there was a mother standing there watching the police handcuff her son and prepare to take him off in their car. And the mother is crying. And so, as she watches this, she screams out these words, "Oh son, oh son, where did your youth pastor go wrong?" If your marriage goes wrong, if your family goes wrong, please do not cry out, "Where did the church go wrong?" There are things we can't do. There are things we cannot do. Only God can do. So, how does this prepare us for the Lord's Supper? I'm going to suggest something. If you're having difficulty in your marriage right now, you admit your marriage is nowhere even close to God's design, that you as a husband are nowhere close to what God describes here, that you as a wife are nowhere close to this, that it's just not going well. Or if you're a mother or a father, or the children even, who have some discernment, and you're thinking, "Wow, our family is nowhere close to what Ephesians 6 describes. We are so far from that design." The answer for you is not some formula. The answer for you is not four steps to an effective marriage, to a good family. The answer for you isn't to get some neat-sounding how-tos. The answer for you is salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ and living the gospel life to the glory of God by the power of the indwelling Spirit. That's the answer. And too many Christian couples and families skip that. And they go looking for the how-tos and the formulas and the lists and the new ideas. The place to start, friends, is your relationship with the Lord. That's where you start. You see, your marriage and your family, they're not about you. The reason you go to the how-to lists, the reason you go to the new ideas, is because you think it's about you. It's about the glory of God. And where do you go from that? You make sure your life is a life that is trusting in and following and obeying the Lord. And you'd be amazed how that eventually over time affects your marriage and over time affects your family. We know the design, but we tend to start at the wrong place. It's about my relationship with Jesus Christ and with His Spirit who is trying to lead me toward bringing glory to God in my whole life, which then includes what? My marriage and my family. Where my goal is not to be a happy husband, a satisfied wife, a child with all the stuff and gets his way, a parent who has this great reputation for being a wonderful mom, dad. The goal becomes the glory of God. That's the goal, the glory of God. And it starts with that happening in my life, personally. Now, some people will say, "Pastor, that is so simplistic." Can I talk about that for about 2 minutes? You want to talk about simple? If surrendering to Christ for salvation and then living out that gospel life, living as a Christian to bring glory to God, And if following the Holy Spirit who lives in us and trusting His power and obeying His leading, if that is simple, then why aren't 100% of us living the design? What I have just laid out for you is not simple. It is supernatural. What's simple is doing marriage for yourself. What's simple is doing family for yourself. What's simple is not being a godly, loving leader as a husband. What's simple is being complacent and apathetic and not taking your responsibility and being unloving. That's simple. That's natural, right? That comes natural. So to say following the Spirit of God and trusting Him and obeying Him is simplistic, that's not simple at all. That's supernatural. And the same with parenting, you know? What's simplistic, kids, is you disobeying your parents and rebelling. What's simplistic is dishonoring and disrespecting your parents, because that comes natural. That's simplistic. To honor them and obey them is supernatural. You need the power of the Spirit of God. You do. So please don't call encouragement to get right with God, to stay right with God, to follow the Spirit of God and His leading and obey Him. Don't call that simplistic. That is hard. It is supernatural. The way many families and marriages are doing it is the simple thing. It's complacency, it's apathy, it's neglecting, it's disobeying. That's simple because that's what comes natural, self-centeredness. Doing it God's way, friends, that's supernatural. And it's only possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of His sacrifice of His body on the cross. And the salvation that can come, the changed life that can come, and the Spirit of God then who comes into your life. And if you follow Him and you surrender to Him daily and you obey Him and trust His power, you will bring glory to God. As a husband, as a wife, as parents, as children. Call it simplistic, but I think it's true. And we avoid it. We skip to chapter 5 of Ephesians and try to make it work without chapters 1 to 5:18. So, what we're going to do is we're going to come to the table. By the way, did you know that the devil doesn't mind if you have a family that's really busy with all kinds of things? The devil doesn't mind if, as a family and as a husband and wife, you hardly ever see each other. Did you know the devil doesn't mind if your kids win all these awards and are really talented? Did you know your kids can have the best clothes? The devil doesn't really care about that. Did you know you can have this great house and all this stuff, and really the devil doesn't mind that? What the devil minds is the gospel of Jesus Christ and people believing that and trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What the devil trembles at is people who will then live that gospel life and will choose to bring glory to God as husbands and as wives and as parents and as children. The devil trembles when people get it and realize marriage isn't about them. It's about the glory of God. When people get it that family is not about them, it's about bringing glory to God, the devil trembles at those people because they get it. And it's only possible because of what we're remembering. So we're going to come to the Lord's table and we're going to give thanks. And the Lord's table is a wonderful place, a wonderful time to do business with God. We know people who come to Christ, surrendered their life to Christ for salvation at the Lord's table. We know people who have made life-changing commitments as Christians, commitments toward obedience, toward surrender, toward following the Spirit and His leading again, which they've gotten away from. And they've done it at the Lord's table. It's because when we come to the Lord's table, we remember what he went through for us, to make it possible for us, in this case, to have a marriage and a family that looks like his design, the way he intended it to be. So, let's pray, and then I'm going to read what the Apostle Paul said about the Lord's table, just to remind us, and we'll come. Our Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity now to come. Lord, I pray that just a few words that have been spoken here would resonate, especially ones that were there in your scriptures. Father, we love families. We love marriages. We want to help. We want to encourage. We want to support. We want to point marriages and families to the right direction. But Father, we know there are things we can't do, and they're the important things. Only you can save. Only you can forgive. Only you can transform a life. Only you can, by your Spirit, empower people to do what you ask them to do. That's only your work, Lord. And I pray that there would be people, husbands, wives, children, parents, who will come to your table, and that there would be good things going on between them and you concerning their marriages and their families. Take all this stuff and just bring some clarity to it, Lord, and may there be powerful things happening at your table. Thank you for your death on our behalf. Thank you for your love and grace that made it possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder for...